Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Mind power in the sense of technological development. Mind power in the sense of utilizing knowledge in a way that can make our lives not only healthier and better, but for future generations, a difference can be made. My guest today is Stephen Ross. He's the co-founder and CEO of the World Research Foundation. And he has a real passion for digging into old archives and researching information that has been discarded for whatever reason. Many times it's been discarded because nobody was interested in it. So I want to welcome to the show Stephen Ross, because I think we are going to be learning some very interesting things that you didn't have a clue even existed. Stephen Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. I hope you're having a great morning.
Absolutely magnificent. Stephen, the title of your book was really so unlike what you do. I mean, when I read the title and nothing happened, I said, oh my goodness, what is this going to be about? Mm-hmm. Then you have the subtitle, but you can make it happen. I was really intrigued. And then when I got into the book, I went, whoa, this is significant information. I'm so glad that you've taken the time to put it into print. Now, you have been doing programs around the world. You've been in front of government agencies, various hospital staff. You've been interviewed on all kinds of programs. You've been an expert witness for the city of Los Angeles. You have been a consultant for the insurance industry.
Your guests are going to think I'm a very old man now, Donna.
Well, you know, you're only 2,550 years old, so, I mean, you're looking good, let me tell you.
Thank you so much.
I have to ask people this question. What pushed your button? What was it that made you say, I must bring this out into print? Because if I don't, it will never be seen by anyone. What prompted you to do this?
Right, and that's pretty much the impetus right there is, I've been doing this for more than 40 years, and that is collecting health information from all over the world. And I don't limit it to any specific area. I look at things from the most unorthodox to the most traditional. But a quick story. When I was on my athletic scholarship at my university in Southern California, I sustained a knee injury. I was sent to the best sports physician in the United States. This doctor treated all the professional teams at that time. This was 1968. After he examined me, he said, I would never be able to run my track and field, my 100 meters, unless I had surgery. I was then sent over to UCLA, the university, and examined by their head trainer. And in those years, the great basketball player Kareem Jabbar was at UCLA. And again, I was told surgery or I couldn't compete. Mm-hmm. I went back to my trainer's room, and there was a popular mechanics magazine. It has nothing to do with medicine. I happened to open it up and read about a technique from Europe, and I thought at 19 years old, maybe this would work for me. So I called the experts, and here was their response. That is holistic garbage. It will never work. Your knee can only be rectified through surgery. Well, I decided to try it myself, Donna. I missed only 3 weeks of training, And I ended up placing at a national level in college in the top five of the United States. And it planted a seed. Why did these experts say this wouldn't work, and what other things exist in this world that we are not informed about? And so we have been collecting for 40 years, and some of these techniques for cancer, arthritis, diabetes are so profound. I wrote this book to get this information out to people.
I want to point out some statistics. And this might be painful if anyone who is listening is in the medical profession, and if they're really aware, it won't be. One, for a doctor to keep up in today's world, to keep up with the latest research and development, they'd have to read 18,000 pages of material a week. Now, if you can visualize that filling a truck and someone just, you know, reading, I read 400 to 600 publications a year, and most people can't even imagine reading that much. Well, I do,
right,
because it's related to my work. But for a physician to really stay up to par, they'd have to be a speed reader par excellence and not have anything other than their medical practice and books. That's all they would have. They couldn't even have a cup of coffee with a colleague. It would
take too much
time. Now, there's some other statistics. Doctors are the third leading cause of death in the United States behind cancer and disease, causing 250,000 deaths every year. And the University of Toronto did a study and found that roughly 2,216,000 patients in U.S. hospitals per year experience a serious adverse drug reaction during their hospital stays. Adverse drug reactions are now the fourth leading cause of death in this country. And you go into more detail on that. You have information from a Dr. Howard Brody, who's the director of the Institute for Medical Humanities at the University of Texas Medical Branch. He said this was published in 2007 in the New England Journal of Medicine. 94% of the doctors polled said they have a direct tie to the drug industry. The pharmaceutical industry is spending on marketing to doctors $7 billion a year on perks, $18 billion a year plus on free samples, and this has been a 275% raise from 1996 to 2004. And you go on for more information, like France is the leading healthcare leader. The U.S. comes dead last. We are in such a mucky mess right now.
It is really a tragedy. We consider ourselves the foremost country in so many areas, but because we have gone down this pharmaceutical chemical route only, I am not saying that there aren't good things, but Donna, you and your listeners, when you think about every TV commercial with a pharmaceutical, and you hear the words,
oh, yes,
adverse reactions are slight, and then they say, could be brain damage, could be loss of your identity, could be, we are in an area. But I want your listeners to know that my book is not just, I have to start with that to explain what we're missing, but my book is filled with great medical doctors and scientists who came up with fantastically accurate therapies with using electricity and magnetism and color that would really rectify a lot of the problems, and none of those have adverse effects.
Now, this is what I wanted to get into. I wanted to point out these statistics because it's important for people to understand that they do have options. And this is so hard. And I'm not saying that there aren't times for surgery, et cetera. But in the early 1900s, there is a microscope, the Rife microscope. And when I read about this, I was just thrilled. I thought, oh, my goodness, look at our technology, how it has advanced. But this was so far ahead, even of what they've got today to a degree. But tell us about the Rife, R-I-F-E, microscope and how you discovered this information.
Yes, this Rife microscope was developed by Royal Rife in the very early 1900s. It would be a microscope that is 10 times more powerful than even the microscopes in use today. It had very unique principles which allowed it to far surpass any of the limits that science believed were available, and therefore the research microscopes could not do what he did. When he looked through this microscope and the other doctors, they would find any virus, microbe, or bacteria glow in its own unique color. Color is a rate of vibration. So when they saw that tuberculosis was emerald green color and the cancer cells were a ruby red, they knew that was the life beat or the life force of those microbes. The doctors who were doing this, E.C. Rosenau, Mayo Clinic, Arthur Kendall, Northwestern, Lewells Barker, John Hopkins. So these were the great research centers. Now, when a singer sings, people have seen a glass can shatter because the frequency of her voice matches the frequency of the glass cells. Well, this is the science that they used. Once they knew the frequency of the cancer cells, they could instantly destroy it with the right frequency, but not harm the good cells, the building cells, and this is what was so unique. 60 diseases and illnesses were rectified by these doctors between 1928 and basically 1939.
Now, this is what I found so absolutely marvelous about your material. You're not coming from a position of saying, well, this was something done and it should just be accepted. This isn't woo-woo. These particular items that you have in your book, this Rife microscope today, if it were made and it were used, and we used what's called the MOR, the mortal oscillatory rates,
correct,
it would be able to just absolutely harmonize the body so that that was causing the disorder would be neutralized, and then its waste would be removed from the system itself. Now, this goes back, Stephen, this goes way back to the ancients that talked about the use of color, the use of vibratory frequencies like bowls or vocal tonal sounds that would be directed towards certain parts of the body. It is
right.
A direct correlation with reading auras. With
yes, that is right. And if you stop and think, and Donna, you're so right, think of Pythagoras. Now, Pythagoras lived 550 B.C. If it wasn't for his theorem on the right triangle, there would be no architecture in the world. He was using colors and musical notes in 550 B.C. to address a multitude of different maladies that existed at his time. The interesting aspect, and I want to interject this because this is also a theme of your show, I found out really this Rife microscope, and I have been very blessed since my early 20s where I have been guided through my dreams. And in my dreams, I have been given telephone numbers, places to go, and even at times, individuals, and I had not heard of these before, I would start pursuing, and that has led to me not only finding out about these things, this Rife microscope, which had been lost, I have had that Rife microscope, and my associates currently have it, so the technology did not disappear totally from the earth, it's just been, again, overlooked.
There are some points that you make that I really, and this was on the microscope, the pleomorphism, This is a term that I don't think many people have ever heard of. I had not heard of it, unless perhaps they're in the medical scientific area. And this is a theory that about microorganisms, how they can mutate from one state to another. And this is a fact. This is something that we know happens. It's a mutation. Emotions, trauma, chemicals can cause any of this. And it's just amazing. And the Rife group that did the studies, because of this sophisticated machine, which still could be developed, could be developed, they discovered basic groups of germs that could mutate from one form to another within their basic group. I think that it, if nothing else, in my mind, it creates a sense of awe because the human body is so absolutely incredible, And we have so much life expression in our human body that we never even see. And this microscope was able to observe actually the mutation process.
Yes, and it did it in a live manner. Now, there are people have heard of what's called the electron microscope that does 1 million magnification. I mean, big numbers. However, nothing can be looked at live. It only gives gray and white scales and shadows. This Rife microscope allowed people to look at these different objects, microbes, bacteria, live for hour after hour. But it also points out something else, and that is we may not catch all of these different bugs that people talk about. We have all of these things within us already. And as you have pointed out, Donna, when the environment changes because of our thoughts, beliefs, food, then this mutation takes place. Because I have always found it curious that with all these things we're supposed to be catching during these various seasons, why is it that the scientists, the chemists, never find it in the air itself? They find some, but they don't find all of these pathogens jumping in the air. So how did it get from you to me or from me to somebody else? Some, yes. Some germs, yes. But a lot of these other microbes and viruses, they lie dormant in different states and are activated. Which is why, in the love vibration, in the environment of being happy, you are really building up your defense mechanism so that these mutations don't take place.
I want to bring up one of your stories in your book, And Nothing Happened, about a Nobel chairman. His name was Dr. Bjorn Nordenstrom. He was from Sweden. Now, he worked with electricity. Now, this, again, I go to the shamanic practices. I think of the shamans that were trained that had never, ever been exposed to a Western doctor. And they would say, I look for the lights in the body, which is representative of the meridians in the body. And if any of the lights were out, they knew that that part of the body had a problem. And so they would work at getting the lights back on. And that was a form of electrical frequency, vibrational frequency. Talk to us about Nordenstrom's research and what he came up with and how the Chinese tested it and what happened.
Yes, Dr. Nordenstrom was the chairman of the Nobel Assembly, which selects the Nobel laureates in medicine. You don't get very much higher than the chairman of the Nobel Assembly. Dr. Nordenstrom was the discoverer of needle biopsy used in every hospital in the world, the top radiologist. He discovered that as a cancer tumor is growing in the body, there is a change in the, I'm going to be very simplistic here, the electrical field at the tumor site, the electrical potential. So what he decided to do was, he decided to work using electricity. He would put a probe in the middle of a tumor. He would stick another probe just alongside of it. And this probe, both probes together, would make a electrical change which would make the white blood cells attack the tumor like the Pac-Man game that people see chewing away. Now, I'm making it very simplistic, but it was really an incredible discovery because he knew, as a lot of the great physicists and chemists know, our body is an electrical organism, not only just with the auric fields and the acupuncture points, but every cell is bipolar. Every cell has a positive and negative aspect. So he was able to cause this reaction to enhance the body's healing. I flew Dr. Nordenstrom out from Sweden to speak at one of our world conferences in 1986. So I had a chance to meet this man personally, and then speaking at my book, it isn't just stories, it is personal experiences. When he came out in 1986, the program 2020 interviewed him, and the doctors on the program said, "We don't have time to learn anything new. This is way out of our bailiwick." So Nordenstrom goes to China, and more than 2,300 Chinese doctors treated 13,000 patients with a 75% success rate and no side effects.
It's absolutely marvelous. And as you say, you gave a simplistic description. But these are scientists. These are people that have put their professional expertise behind it. We're not talking about data here that has been done by some ding-dong caveman in the middle of Bongo Bongo. We are talking about people that are sincere. They are really caring. They have found that something has worked, and it's not dead in the water. How do we bring it back? Well, in today's world, there's a lot of people doing energy healing. I've had the privilege of interviewing many of them and meeting many of them through the years. And what I have found is this correlation, but not everybody's going to do this. So in understanding that there are the mechanisms, the actual physical mechanisms that could be utilized to bring health and balance into a person's life is phenomenal. Now let's dip into another arena, and that is the arena of color. Color is, in my view, such an apt demonstration of where a person is mentally. I've been in the work of mind for most of my life, and it is fascinating to me to watch people, to look at them, to see what they're radiating and their color tones and what they surround themselves with. And when I came to this section, this one chapter where you talk about waves that heal, not waves, waves that heal, that color, I said, oh, this is so right on. It is just so amazing. Now let's talk about Dr. Densha. And there's a little girl in this story, and it just really moved me emotionally. We have so many people that are burn victims, and the treatments they go through so many times are barbaric. I just ache even for the medical practitioners that have to do this. I say there has to be a better way.
That was little Grace Sherlow, and you saw pictures in my book of a little girl with third-degree burns over two-thirds of her body.
It was, horrific photos.
We have all of the original materials. And by the way, I'm just going to go back. On the Rife microscope, we have 500 personal letters of all of those doctors and their work logs. With this color, we have books. We have over 300 books on the color therapy, plus all of the 500 medical doctors who use this color therapy, Donna, in the 20s and 30s. And the color therapy, when I give presentations to doctors and I have doctors saying, I don't know about this, I say, doctor, What do you use for infant liver syndrome, bilirubin, premature babies with yellow jaundice? And the doctor will say, doctor, you were going to say you put them under a blue light. Well, that is color therapy. If the doctors do not put those premature babies with infant liver syndrome under the blue light, there is 100% fatality. So the color is the use of the visible light spectrum to cause physiological changes, stimulating the body, slowing down the physiology. The color can address more than 300 diseases and illnesses, and 500 U.S. doctors were using this color therapy that I spoke about in my book, Donna.
Now, Dr. Dinsha ended up being put in jail because of this, and the FDA instituted a trial against him for practicing medicine without a license. And
I must tell you that the first trial was about color. They actually took him to court, and it wasn't about practicing medicine at first. It was about how phony the use of color was. Well, there were so many doctors that testified under oath in the New York Supreme Court that the jury immediately let him go because it was proved that these doctors had cured so many diseases and illnesses using a system. So in the second trial, then it was practicing medicine without a U.S. license, and he, as you mentioned, he ended up in jail. And there's been a ban all these years since the 20s on just how much information can come from his heirs, that is his son who is still alive. The FDA watches all the time what they're doing. But I will tell you this. You have never heard any article that says or show Mary Jane Smith was found OD'd at her house with a color projector going. It, color is a beautiful, simplistic, but very profound therapy that can be used for a lot of problems.
Now, Stephen, can you stay with me for another 15 minutes? Because I want to share some more information with my audience.
Yes, Donna, whatever you would like, I'm here for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Stephen Roth is my guest today. The title of his book is And Nothing Happened, But You Can Make It Happen. These points of information are vitally necessary. This color therapy that we're talking about, this is nothing new. We're hearing it mentioned on so many different levels today. But just what he said, that you really have to figure out how you can use it. Well, you can use this therapy yourself. You can use color yourself. How many times are you told, visualize? Well, finally, in mainstream medicine, meditation is being shown to be very, very accurate. What is it you're doing with your mind? But color itself has a tremendous vibratory effect. His own mother used it to help his father get well. So we're going to find out some more information. This really is wonderful stuff. Stay with us. We're going to come back, talk some more with Stephen Roth. This is Donna Seabow, and nothing happened? Well, maybe you're going to be one of those people that can make something happen. This is Donna Seabow. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Seabow, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, for those of you just joining me, this is Donna Seabow, and my guest today is Stephen Roth. The title of his book is And Nothing Happened, But You Can Make It Happen. The material, Stephen, in your book, you have documentation, records, There's just so much here that you and your World Research Foundation have been able to protect. And by the way, you can go to WRF.org and hear more. But I want to bring up something, and we've referred to it lightly already, but it is electromagnetic medical technology. Now, in 1989, there was a conference. It was sponsored by the University of Tulsa Department of Continuing Education, Office of Research, and FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health. Boy, what a mouthful.
Right.
I'm surprised anybody
I'm
can even get
past. I'm glad you said it and not me, Donna.
Boy, I'm telling you, all of this stuff that people come up with. What I wanted to bring out is our bodies are energy, period. Every cell is an energy frequency of its own level. You bring up one of the many points of information that you bring up in your book is there was a sportscaster, Jim McKay, at the, 1976, you were watching the Olympic Games.
Right, on Wide World of Sports, uh-huh.
And there was a runner, Laz Varon.
Yes.
And he was leading the 10,000-meter finals, and they were amazed at how well he was doing. Tell us what was utilized. Tell us what happened, what they found out that this sportsman, this athlete, was using.
Yes, I most people love the Olympics, but being a former track runner, of course, I'm always captivated by the Olympics. And Laz Varon had won the 5,000 meters at the Olympics, but had ended up with a knee injury. And they figured that he would not be able to run in a later race the 10,000 meters. But here I am watching ABC's Wide World of Sports, and Jim McKay is showing Laz Varon in the lead and then telling the story how he finished the 5,000 injured, but here he is running because he used a machine called a diapulse machine, and they cut away from the runner and showed this diapulse machine and cut back to Laz Varon winning. And I am in this field, and I had never heard of this diapulse machine, so I start doing checking and find out that it is banned in the United States as a quack device. And I thought to myself, wow, it's being used at the Olympics. I started gathering data. I found out that before the ban put on by the FDA, it had been examined at 20 U.S. universities because it accelerates wound healing twice normal speed.
Wow.
It had been over and over used, but the FDA said because it was mislabeled, and mislabeled because nothing can really work like that, they said, it is banned. Well, as I collected more information and I met with the principals of the company, and they gave me hundreds and hundreds of studies, and this is what really shocked me. The mathematics was done by Albert Einstein. And I'm thinking, this is a quack device? Well, the diapulse company fought for 15 years, finally proved that the FDA just had acted without really doing any testing themselves, and it was allowed to come back on the market. But hundreds of studies came out after the ban was lifted, because people were still researching it. It accelerates wound healing twice normal speed. It does
there
not touch
is
the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's, mm-hmm. It is an antenna that puts the healing frequency. And Donna, it gives me a chance here to say, because I think you'd appreciate this. I personally believe whatever these machines can do, you and I and your audience are capable also of doing through our aspects of love and to heal another. Sorry, I just had to throw that in. Oh.
Well, I think that's a very good point. Let's go to something that concerns millions of Americans, and I have members of my own family that this affects. the potential of bypass operations, cardiovascular conditions. Now, Germany, in my observation and experience, frequently has been a leader when it comes to understanding homeopathic methods, natural ways of healing. This is something that has been a part of the European culture and was a part of the medical culture, because so many of them emigrated here, until it was considered a bad thing. Today, we're still battling, because there are so many powers that be that want to eliminate natural ways of healing that are not going to cause adverse side effects. Now, I don't hate Western medicine. It saved members of my family's lives. Emergency room care has been wonderful. But when we get down to the bare bones of how do we maintain wellness, what can we as individuals do to be more responsible and assertive and investigative about potentialities of choice? This is something to me that's very important. This segment on the heart, heart bypass therapy, was just absolutely phenomenal. In fact, this information would eliminate 90% of what a lot of people have to go through. And if this were done in beginning phases, if we were able to make evaluations, let's say with the equivalent of the Rife microscope, looking at things, becoming aware of a person's physiology, their patterning, their chemistry, and then be able to implement preventive measures, wow, what a difference it would make. The care of medicine would just do a 180-degree flip. So right. Let's talk about this, because this is something that is just amazing. And we'll start with 1994, the Association for Prevention of Heart Attacks in Stuttgart, Germany. Give us some details on this. This is just powerful information.
Yes, and I will add that I've had an office of World Research Office in Stuttgart since 1984. I met with Dr. Kern personally. What happened here was, back during World War II, Dr. Kern, who was a physician in Germany, was required to do autopsies on any soldier that died, even if it appeared to be obvious that it was a gunshot wound. What he found was these young soldiers in their 20s had heart occlusion or blockages in their arteries, equivalent of what was normally thought maybe a 60-year-old or 70-year-old would have. And the question was, how were these soldiers still able to operate and not have a heart attack when the current model is, if the arteries are blocked, you are going to end up with a heart attack? Well, he eventually found that it was not about blockages. Now, anyone living in a big city, when your freeway is crowded and you're in a rush, what do? You take a side street. Well, in the heart, they have found thousands of heart bypasses. In other words, these are called collaterals. They are side streets. And they have already been made visible by the U.S. Army, where they were able to demonstrate and light up these collaterals. So when your main heart artery is blocked, you have more blood going to the heart. And in fact, this is what Dr. Kern found, that why weren't these kids having heart attacks with all these blocked arteries? Because the blood is there. But why does somebody have pain in their heart? Dr. Kern found out it was because of a change in the pH balance of the heart. Now, the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology of the U.S. government made visible all of these collaterals or side streets, and two prestigious American heart magazines at the same time have been saying, our model of the heart just isn't correct. The American Journal of Cardiology in 1988 said, the coronary artery blockage theory just does not hold water. So, a little herb from Africa, when given into the body through a pill, balances the pH in the heart in 10 minutes, and the person feels no more pain, and the blood is fully assured into the heart.
incredible information. And in 1990, there was a lawsuit that was brought forth by the University of Colorado in a publication, the information about this lawsuit, and it claimed that the use of this strophanthin, and I may not be pronouncing it correctly, you can correct me, or strophanthin, it's S-T-R-O-P-H-A-N-T-H-I-N.
They yes. said, oh, strophanthin, uh-huh.
Yes, that it was charlatanism. This is just a bunch of fraud. However, what came out is that there was a physician that said, we have a survey of 3,654 physicians who have used this African herb between 1976 and 83, and 3,552 of these physicians were excited about it, 93 were positive, they had some thoughts, but not one of these physicians had a negative response to it. And this herb is found only in Africa. And this little pill in 1990 cost $1 a day. So that's $30 a month, approximately. And Dr. Kern wanted people to know about this. And you end your sentence with, he pointed us in the right direction, but nothing happened.
Well, and that is because heart bypass is big business, cancer therapy is big business, and that is what I need to point out, because anybody listening saying, well, if these things were so good, why aren't all these things Stephen and Donna talking about in use? Well, the commonality is none of them are pharmaceutical, and these products have a difficulty coming into the marketplace because we are dominated by, right now, the pharmaceutical approach. What can we do? Really listen to those commercials and ask yourself if this is what medicine really is. Is it about taking something and then having an adverse effect? Or is it about using the God-given energy, light, electricity, magnetism, color that we are really made up of? And I'm sorry we didn't have time to get into the acupuncture, because two aerospace nuclear medical doctors validated the entire acupuncture meridian system using an isotope and CAT scan cameras, and proved that the charts used by the Chinese thousands of years ago are 100% accurate, with every meridian lighting up with this technetium 99 and the cameras.
Just like the old-time shaman that I mentioned. That
you are right.
He said when the lights are out, something's wrong in the body. And he was just using a different description of ancient, ancient knowledge that has been documented and utilized for thousands of years. And I say there are the advances that we've made that in the Western world are just phenomenal. We can combine those with the wisdoms of the past, but your book, And Nothing Happened, But You Can Make It Happen, is just a huge, huge step forward, in my mind's view, of bringing to public awareness that there are options that are available even today that were invented in the early 1900s, between 1900 and 1940, and later, that we can use. But how do you get it out there? You get it out there by sharing it. You get it out there by reading about it. You get it out there by investigating, as you have, Stephen, finding out information that is just so liberating, and it allows the individual to take charge and say, wait a minute, I have other options I can consider. And millions of people in the United States are saying that. They're saying, our system is sick, we've got too much corruption in here, we have too much that's going on, nobody's really paying attention. People that are not really educated in the true sense of the word are making decisions that are affecting our well-being, our lives.
And I might add that our world research, what we do is people contact us with any disease or illness, and we will tell you every therapy option that has been used from ancient times to the present. So that is really our main focus at World Research Foundation, is letting people know what the options are, but we don't tell anybody, do this, do that. We don't sell therapies. We just inform. And I am so appreciative of the opportunity that you've given to me and our organization to reach your audience. I really am, Donna.
Stephen, this has been wonderful. For those of you that want to find out more, get the book. It is going to absolutely just be maybe a confirmation of what you already know, but it gives you a whole new dimension of choice. And he just told you, this is part of what the World Research Foundation does. Stephen A. Ross, thank you so much for being my guest today. Go to the World Research Foundation's website. It's WRF.org. WRF.org. Donna Sebo here again. Mr. Ross, thank you so much. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Winnie the Pooh. Oh, that delightful character. Don't you just, every time you see Winnie the Pooh, there's just this, no wonder children are in love with the characters. But Winnie is just absolutely, the Pooh is just absolutely special. But this is a quote from the Pooh. Rivers know this, there is no hurry. We shall get there someday. And this caption is with a magnificent photograph of a mountain that's bathed in the golden glow of sun, and this beautiful river and heather is growing on its banks in the colors of pink and purple and blue. Just absolutely gorgeous. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to touch on something that Stephen brought up. To me, it is wonderful when we can be made aware of options in life. And for those of you that are regular listeners to the show, you know that this is something that I always like to bring to you. It's important to know that there are many different ways of approaching a situation, a condition, an environment. What can we do? How can we empower ourselves? Well, I had a lesson that I learned many years ago from a neighbor. And I always like to say it pays being mindful, because sometimes that which is commonplace around us, that we just take for granted. We don't give 50 cents worth of thinking to what's happening around us usually. We just work like little robots. We have our little trends and patterns and habits. But this was a friend, and I will never forget, she was so excited about getting new furniture. And she got her furniture in, and I had not yet gotten into the work of mine, so my education was seriously lacking on multiple levels. But I walked into her living room, and I just went, whoa, what has happened here? She had gotten furniture that had wood colors, very, very dark brown wood colors, and then the fabric covering a good portion of the furniture was this brilliant glaring orange. And when I walked into that room, it's almost like I could hardly breathe. The orange was of such an intensity. It was just unreal. And I thought, who in the world can sit in this room? Well, it was a short time after that I got involved in developing my own intuitive skills and started that journey, which I still continue today. And I learned about color. And then I found out about my friend, and I found out why she had that color. Orange is a very, very rich color that is absolutely marvelous, but the shades of orange will tell you a lot about an individual. The color and shade of orange that she had was of such a frequency that it literally would make you hyper. Well, I learned later that my friend was addicted to Valium. She was always in this hyper frequency. When she came down out of it, she couldn't tolerate anything. She had become an addict. She did not have any association. She didn't understand that what she was bringing into her environment was a reflection of that. I understood it later. I understood it very, very well. So color has a lot to do with how you feel, with how you relate to life. Stop and think about what people feel when they get to Hawaii, for example. Lots of green, an abundance of water. The colors have just a vibrancy and an energy that's so healing. It's absolutely amazing. It also can create a very lethargic environment for you. Well, you'd literally never get anything done because it is in such a relaxed mode. It's one of the best places you can ever go to, as far as I'm concerned, to, one, relax, to play, to have fun. And it is not meant to be a high-stress Western, what I call, environment. And people that try to make it that way often find that they're battling. It's very frustrating to them because they can't seem to get the momentum going that they want. And when you take a look at life, when you take a look at your environment, when you start reading and learning about energy healing, when you start reading and learning about ancient philosophies that have been around for thousands upon thousands of years, when you read and learn about cultures, which we're going to be hearing quite a bit about in the upcoming weeks, shamanism, different parts of the world that are involved with this, whether it is in past history, current today, all of these things have a wisdom and knowledge that have basis, in fact, in application. There's story upon story upon story. I've listened to people from around the world, whether it's Greece, Africa, South America, the Native Americans in the United States, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, islands. It doesn't make any difference. There are those understandings that have been passed along from generation to generation, which make a tremendous impact on us when we begin to understand that wellness is supposed to be a natural state in life. Sickness is not supposed to be. And we have what is a major shift to altering the understanding of that. And I'd like to think that you'd get excited about this, because you'd say, I want to explore this more. And again, there's many different modalities. Life really is a wonderful opportunity to bring forth the highest and best of yourself. Sometimes we have some bumps in the road. Sometimes we have some volcanic explosions. The key is, how are we going to allow those experiences to bring us forth into our own selves and our understanding of how we can make not just ourselves whole, complete, and perfect, but how we can let this ripple out to others. We don't have to beat a drum or, you know, smash a tambourine and make a lot of noise. We do it by just walking the walk and sharing what we know. And you never know how that is going to make a difference. You are very, very special. I'm so delighted that you've been able to share this time with me. Won't you join me next week? We have a great lineup of guests. And just check show information. You'll find out more about it. But I'll be with you right here, same time, same place. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent weekend. And we'll be chatting again soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.